Well, good morning. Some of you are sleepy this morning, but that's okay. I'll wake you up. I'm kidding. Someone just asked me, are you sleeping, David? Of course I am. I'm not the one that has to feed the baby. Well, it's been a good adventure for the past 2 weeks. I had a couple of days off, and for most of you know and heard that we had our third baby boy. On September 18th, my wife was, 3 weeks ago she was here, and people were asking, like, what's going on? Anyhow, so her OB told her that the baby was really large. So we have a history of big babies, 8, 15, 9, 10, and then tell you how much this was, one was, in a second. But anyhow, so we were like, okay, well, we got to just proceed. We just got to go in. So her OB just scheduled for us to go Monday the 17th in the morning. So we went there, and they told us, well, just go home and, you know, come back tomorrow morning. We'll do the work tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. So, you know, when you're having a baby, for those of you that have, how many of you have had a baby? Parents? Oh, okay, good. Good. You're having a baby, you really wish a baby will give you some sleep, like give you a night of sleep, and then you can go wake up in the morning and go and do the whole thing, and then it's just another day, right? Like you don't have to lose sleep over it. And that was my prayer for the first one, didn't happen. My prayer for the second one didn't happen. And the third one, I was really trying to get some sleep, you know? I went to bed around 10. My wife was just kind of walking around. She's like, you ain't sleeping tonight. Just walking around. And I said, honey, come on, let's just lay down for a couple hours and we'll go in. I'll take you in. 11 p.m., 11:30. I can't fall asleep. She's just walking around. She said, well, I'm not going to last tonight. We got to go in. Anyhow, so we packed up at midnight on Tuesday morning. Went in, and the water didn't break yet, but she was having contractions, and at 4 o'clock, the water broke, and the baby was out at 4:27. So it was a perfectly natural, amazing birth. My wife is a champion. She's amazing. She did everything. I didn't have to do anything. You know, one thing I still haven't learned, though, is when you're there beside, you know, when the baby's coming out, you don't talk much as a husband. I still haven't learned that. I was talking, I remember, it was like all these nurses and doctors around, and I was just, I don't know, trying to encourage my wife, you know, give her some encouragement. I just gave it to my wife, because I said, for those of you who don't know, her father is a child of 5 boys. There's 5 boys in the family. So the grandmother was a champion. She had 5 boys, right? So we were, and then I was like, her name was Savka, so I said, come on, honey, Savka power. She's like, shut up! You know, the Ilich Savka power. And the doctors, all the doctors just looked at me. One right beside me, she was like, she told you that in love. You know that, right? I said, yeah, I did. I just should have kept quiet, you know. But it is what it is. Sometimes I have a hard time controlling my speech, my talk, my tongue. So anyhow, so I really wanted him, I don't know, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background. I had a name for him, but my wife was like, no, I have a name. You chose the second one, I'm choosing the third one. So she really wanted to name him Zion, Z-I-O-N. And I was like, honey, we are European. It doesn't really go. You got Luca, Nico, like, how's that going to work out? No, it's going to be Zion. So baby came, and she asked me, so are you okay with the name? I had to be okay, because I didn't go through all that trouble. But in the meantime, I was, ever since she told me about the name, I was researching, reading about it. And you know, you read the Bible, and I've read the Bible many times, and Zion name always, and then when you start actually, when you know that that's going to be your child's name, you start seeing it in the Bible almost everywhere. It's literally, the name Zion is almost everywhere in the Bible. If you open it up and you just flip it and start reading, oh, Zion, oh, wow. So Zion is actually, the meaning of the name is, it's a biblical meaning, of course, and it means monument. It means raised up. It also is mentioned as a city of David. It's also mentioned as the mountain where God resides, where God dwells. So that's such a powerful meaning that my boy is going to be an embodied presence of God. He's going to carry the presence of God wherever he goes. And that's our prayer for him as well, that his name would really become real in his life. So he is Zion. I didn't have a say. We didn't even go with the middle name. So poor Nico, the middle child, he's the only one that has a middle name. I don't know why, but anyhow, another baby, another blessing, another responsibility. I was just holding him down there and just, you know, there's so much to come for him. And they're so cute when they're little. You know, my boy Luca is 8, the oldest one. They're not so cute when they start talking back to you and start giving you attitude, right? So we're just going through that phase with Luca now, but Luca is amazing. We are doing our best to try to navigate him. And, you know, how do we as parents make sure that our children are strong and wise and follow the Lord? And the title of my message today is we're talking about raising children, and I just added in faith because I really believe this is one of the most important aspects that we as parents have to transfer to our children. How do we raise our children? How do we make sure that they stay in faith, that they have faith in God? How do we prepare the children for the world, to face the world, that Jesus actually said himself, we'll have trouble, and we'll have all kinds of things happening. At the school, I was just picking up my kids the other day, and I met with the mother of two teenagers and a little one as well, and I haven't seen her in a long time. And I just, you know, I haven't seen her in a long time. How's it going? And she just, her head was down, and she just replied that it's not going well. I asked her about the kids because I know the kids. They came to our youth group back in the day, and she said it's not good. You know, the boy has left the home. He's moved out of his home. He's living with his girlfriend, and even though his sister is still living with me, she's not really talking to me. We always get, you know, we're always fighting and stuff like that. She's kind of following the path of her brother. Oh, that was hard for me to hear. And I just encouraged her right there. I couldn't say much because I had to go get the kids. So I hugged her. I said, I'll be praying for you. Just keep praying for them. You as a mother have a spiritual authority over them, and just give them to the Lord. And that's all you can do. And she left, and at that moment I was just thinking about I'm gonna be facing my kids very soon, going into through teenage, we call it a rebellious stage, very soon, right? When we think we know everything, when the kids come to the stage where they talk back to you and they think they know better and all that stuff, and I'm just praying, saying, God, please give me wisdom to encourage my boys to follow you. So I've heard a lot of stories of actually kids growing up in church and walking away. I don't know if you have. I have. And parenting is not easy. And today I don't really want to focus too much with my message. I don't want to focus too much on the world and how the world is and what's happening in the world. We all know what's happening in the world. It's been getting crazy lately, a lot more than before. There's a lot of mixed messages that our kids are getting from friends, peers, entertainment, movies, shows, music, you name it, social media. There's so much stuff out there, and I don't want to focus on that. I do want to acknowledge that parenting, if you're a parent here, is one of the hardest jobs that we have on this earth. And after, second hardest, the first hardest is to make our relationships work. I think that's the first hardest that we have to do, make our marriage work and our relationships. And then parenting and raising up the children is the second hardest. See, because raising children is our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility, it's our duty, and it's our obligation. It's not a responsibility of teachers, of the system, of the school, of aunts, uncles, and even grandparents. I know so many friends in my own circle that have had the most influence, spiritual influence, from the grandparents, not from the parents. So we have to start somewhere. And I would like to start with just saying that we are spiritual beings. We believe that as Christians, right? And I want to start there and say, because we are spiritual beings, we believe that our kids and our children are spiritual beings. They have a soul, they have a spirit. And our greatest responsibility is to make sure that their spirit and soul are doing well, right? And here's a point that I want to summarize my message in. I'll be repeating it over and over again. The most important thing that you will pass on to your children is faith in God. And greatest thing that you will build in their life is character. Just from seeing and being a parent for 8 years, I think this surpasses and goes beyond everything else in life. You know, I do want my boy Luca to be an NBA star one day. I really do, so that he can pay off all my bills. And Nico has been getting into sports nowadays. He's loving tennis. He just keeps talking about it. He wants to be a tennis player. And that's a good paying sport too. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But beyond all that stuff, you know, just thinking about it, they can have all they want in life, but if they don't have faith and character, what's the point? What's the point? And I see so many people, you know, some parents say, oh, I just want my kids to be decent human beings. That's all I want for them. But how many of you know that being decent human beings is not enough? We have a lot of decency in our world, and even in the corporate world, and just in world in general, but you lack a lot of character. There's people in high positions that just lack integrity and character and faith. So that's where I want to start. That's one of the most important things that we should focus on as parents. And then I want to read a scripture, just started with this one, Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why do we look at the clock when we look at the clock? We look at the clock to see how much time we have left, right? Not how much time has passed, but how much time we have left to the day, right? So I just did some math yesterday, and they usually say your kids are, you know, they're usually with you up until the college, and then, you know, they don't listen to you anymore. And, you know, I was thinking, Luca is 8, so another 8 years and 2 years, he's going to be, so 10 more years, he's going to be 18. And I did the math, it's not a big deal. 365 days times 10. And then when you do everything, so I have about 3,652 days with him until he goes to college. I have 365 Sundays with him, take him to church, try to impart. I have 365 Saturdays with him and all the other days in the week. So whatever I do in this time until then is going to matter a lot. So if you do the math, if you have kids or you've had kids or even if you're a grandparent sitting in this room, you want the best for your grandkids, right? And then you think about your kids and they're having their kids and how much time they really have with them left, right? So the point of this verse is we only have a brief time with our kids, a very brief time. I look at the past 8 years, I don't even know what happened. The time just went by like this with Luca being the oldest, 8 years old. And we have to invest, we have to make the most of our time, but we have to invest every moment, every moment that we have with our kids, we have to invest in our kids. We have to do things with them that they love doing. There's a couple of things that I wrote here, and I'm not going to give you a lot of steps and what you should do and what you shouldn't. I just want to share my heart with you and the story of how I've seen parenting. Teach them a lesson, share a story with them, encourage them, pray. Have fun, play games with them, spend valuable time with other friends, with good friends and families that you decide to raise them with. So, and I saw this in my dad's life, my family's life, and my parents, they really have tried their best to keep us in our faith. And a lot of people say, well, you were pastor's kid, so you've had it all figured out. No, I didn't. Matter of fact, we didn't have it all figured out. My parents didn't have a perfect marriage. We weren't the perfect kids. We were rebelling a lot. We got spanked a lot. That worked really well. And you know, we didn't have it perfect. And that's the one thing that we have to realize, and we have to teach our kids, that this life is not perfect, right? That whatever we're experiencing in our life, whatever we're going through, it's not going to be perfect. And even though things are not perfect, and we're, which means that we're imperfect and we're broken, we need God to help us and come alongside, and God's Spirit to help us to become what He wants us to become. So I was just talking to my wife the other day. She's talking about things that, I asked her, honey, what do you think is, I mean, we've been doing, at least I think we'll be doing okay. What do you think, what would you say is the most important thing when you're trying to raise your child spiritual? And she said, well, you have to carry the child in prayer before the Lord. That's the number one thing that is probably one of the most important things that we do as parents. We carry them before the Lord. Because prayer is never, there's a lot of things in your life that you can't control. You can't control, and there's some things that you can't control. But prayer is always going to be there for you to have for those things that you can't control. So when you send off the kids to school, you can pray and say, God, protect them from bad influence, from bad ideas and friends and all that stuff, right? So I looked at a really good resource that my wife and I read when we were starting with the kids is the book called Power of Praying Parent. If you guys have never read that, I would encourage you to read that. Really powerful. But there's so many great examples in the scripture about children. You know, we always look to the scripture to see, well, who do we look to so that we have some examples of raising a child to this world? And I really love, not because I got a name from him, David, but just I love the courage of David and how he was a young boy out just in his teenage years, fighting lions and bears and just trusting the Lord. And that was always my prayer for myself and for my kids, that they would just be able to trust the Lord, not be afraid of Goliaths. And he was just a kid, the Bible tells us, right? But he was so brave. But I'm not going to focus on the life of David. I just want to read a couple of scriptures that I find really valuable, some things that we'll pull out of Luke. And, of course, the story of Jesus. And I have thought of this, and if Jesus was being born today, who would he choose to be the parents to Jesus? Did you ever think of that? If Jesus was born today, would he choose you? Let's say your parents, you have kids. Would he choose you to raise Jesus? Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Someone said no, so just with the people watching online. I don't know. I don't know if he would choose me. You know? We might have said, oh God, I don't have enough room in my house. Or I don't have enough time. I'm working 9 to 5. I got the overtime busyness, this and that. I don't know if I'll be able to do that. Think about it. So God chooses two people that were imperfect. They were not perfect. Jesus was perfect. He was the only perfect child. So if you think your child is perfect, I'm sorry. He was the only perfect child. So Jesus chooses Joseph and Mary. Actually, Jesus chooses a teenager. A 16-year-old girl. It just blows my mind, you know, that God would choose an imperfect parents to raise Jesus up. And I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here. We're not going to stay too much, but just want to kind of leave something with you here. Let's just start from Luke 2, 39 to 52. This is what it says. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. So Mary and Joseph were really obeying the scriptures, and they did all the stuff that they were supposed to do. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Wow. This is the prayer for my children, but I also like to encourage you that this would be a prayer for your children, that you pray over them, that they would grow strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And what is wisdom, really? Wisdom is really discerning right from wrong. And how do we do that? We look at the scriptures, right? And the grace of God was upon him. Wow. What a powerful prayer. And then this is what it says, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, They went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary did not know it, but they supposed that he was with them and accompanied with them. They went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Wow, I want my boy to come to church and question Pastor Ken. And question Pastor Larry and question me. Not, you know, I think the greatest success of parenting in 21st century is when my kids come and ask me a question, not the Google Home. That's one of the, I think, you know, I've had that happen multiple times over the past couple of days, and I was so proud of it. My boy would wake up, he wouldn't go to Google Home, but he would say, Dad, did God speak all multiple languages, the young one? Of course, son. And then he kept on going, and that's, to me, that's success, you know, because they do have Google, but they do have you as well. So Jesus was asking, and you can see here in these scriptures that Jesus was 12 years old, but he was spiritually mature. He was spiritually mature. And that should be our goal as parents, that our children would be first and foremost, not so much athletic, and yes, my boys are athletic, and they'll be champions, I know they will. But beyond that, that they would be spiritually mature to handle things around them, right? And then it goes on, and he says that all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. So they really proved their test to God. God, we didn't lose him. We're going to find him. So they went looking for the boy. They found him finally. And then he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand. They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was a subject to them, and which means that he was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And this is kind of just sort of a continuation of this prayer, that they would be strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, the grace of God would be upon them, and that our kids would be increasing wisdom even more in stature, and they would find favor with God and men, just like Jesus did. That's our prayer, right? So one thing that also stood out in these scriptures for me is that Jesus was about Father's business. Now, he had a mission. He was on a mission. But that's something that we should teach our children, that they should be about Father's business first. And then everything else. Everything else is going to come. You see, one thing that we try to emphasize to our children is that they have to have a personal relationship with God. That's where everything starts. That's where everything ends. Not personal relationship with mom and daddy and God, but personal relationship with God themselves. So, you know, my prayer for my children is that they would know God, but that they would also pursue God. And we as parents have this responsibility, to this faith that we have, to hand it off to our children and say, faith that we've had is our own, we have is our own faith, but we're giving you this faith. We're saying, God is real, and you have to make him, that faith that you've seen from us, you have to make it your own. You have to have a first-hand experience with God yourself. And I've seen it many times, as I said in the beginning, children that were raised in church leave. And probably the biggest reason why they left is because they have never made their parents' faith their own. They've never made it their own. They were never challenged by their parents, which I always do challenge my boys. And it's so cute when my little one, Nico, he really wanted to play tennis with me outside. But clouds came rolling in, and it was pouring. And then he said, Dad, can we pray so that the weather gets better? And I said, yeah, let's pray. So we went inside. We were playing downstairs. We prayed for it, prayed that, you know, sun would come out. And guess what? 10 minutes later, it cleared up. It was beautiful. We went out, we played, and then he mentioned, Dad, you see, I don't know how he said it, but he said, you see our prayer works. That is, those are the experiences that we as parents have to put on our kids. And we have to teach them to pray their own prayers. We have to teach them to experience God on their own terms. Right? So, because they have choice. And we have choice as parents. And let me tell you one of the biggest reasons. That's one of the biggest reasons that kids leave church is they haven't made the faith their own. But the second biggest one is because of religious hypocrites. That's how I put it. And then I looked at myself, and then I looked at, am I a religious hypocrite? Yes, I am, many times. I find myself many times in a space where I have the right choice to make in front of my kids, but I don't. I can say the right things to their mom, and just, I can say the right thing, but I don't say the right things in front of my children. And there is nothing that will turn your kids more off than the hypocrisy that you can have and live as a Christian. See, I really believe with my whole heart that authenticity is the main problem that we have. That's kind of like where everything breaks. Is you need to model what you preach. You need to live what you preach. And how do you model it? You see, we need to walk our talk. Not just talk about, not just go to church, but we have to live our own faith in front of them. We actually have to tell our kids that, and show our kids that God is number one in our life. That Christ and relationship with Him is number one in our life. We have to be real, not fake. And it's easier said than done, because even it could be the smallest thing as watching a TV, watching a show or movie, and then just letting things pass by, not saying anything, or not, it could be just the smallest thing like that can trigger kids to say, well, my dad is watching this, so I can watch it too, right? So I really believe this is one of the main problems, that we haven't done a good job, and I'm doing my best, and I'm with God's power and His Spirit that lives in me, that I would be the one that will demonstrate to my children what it means to be a Christian. And what it means to be a follower of Jesus, right? We are to love God with our entire being, heart, soul, and strength. And the question is, when your kids watch you, do they observe a loyalty that you have towards God? Or do they see something else? That's the question I'll leave with you today. And it's really important that when they watch us, when our boys watch us, and we've had many, my wife and I have had many arguments in front of our children. And I regret those moments. And things that were being said, things that were, you know, and they watch us and they take everything as a sponge, like as little sponges, and take it in. But then I went back all those times and I talked to them. I said, I told Luca, a couple of days ago, I said, Luca, I'm sorry for what I've said to mommy. I didn't mean it. It just came out. I was angry. I apologize. This is not the way that we should talk. This is not the way we should. So I went back as a parent and admitted my wrongs. And I said, this is not how we should be. We can do better than this. We're imperfect. So my boy, he observed it. He saw what happened. But then he saw his dad coming to him and making it right, saying, this is not right. So I think that's what's happened a lot, is that we have made a mistake being too religious, if I can put it that way, being too religious and being too holy, and being afraid that we're going to hurt our own vulnerability or maybe our own authority to our children, and not going back and saying, that was wrong. That wasn't right. I shouldn't have said that to you, or shouldn't have said that to your mommy, and because kids watch us, they observe everything that we say and do. And it's so important that we're almost always aware of the things that we say and talk, especially when our kids are around. So, you need to be an example of loyalty to God. You need to demonstrate that. We can't simply you can't simply pass on the faith that you don't have or the example of what you want them to be, and you yourself are not an example. Right? We have to set the pace. We are their role models. We are their role models of faith and loyalty to God. So we need to model what a Christian should look like in their end to them. We're different than the world. We're not. We don't speak like the world does. We don't talk. We don't watch things that the world watches. We don't hang out places and areas where the world hangs out. So when we act and when we interact with each other, we don't do it like everybody else does it. Our marriages should be different, our relationships. And our children certainly know that we're not perfect, right? But they also should know that we should be authentic and that we should show the true colors and the true life and say, this is what it is, this is how it is. And when you fail, you go ahead and say, I've failed. Another thing that I really think is important is you need to make your own family a priority. And Pastor Leigh will speak on priorities in a couple of weeks. But I really have seen it. If I don't put my wife first and them first, then what's the point? How can I can be about all everything. I can always do all this work and be away and not be with them and not spend time with them. But love to kids is spelled time. T-I-M-E. Doesn't matter how much. I usually always say, I encourage, when talking to young parents, I always encourage them, you have to give them at least an hour a day. At least. At least. And if you don't give them that, whatever you do during that time, whether you jump over each other or you do some fun stuff, I do sports, we read the stories, we watch, whatever. We do stuff together. But if they don't have that, then they think daddy's too busy and daddy doesn't think we're important. And then how can I be an example to them if I don't give them time, right? Just like any relationship, if you want to make it work, you got to put some time into it, right? So they have to see it in your own life. They have to see that you put your spouse first. They have to see that you treat your spouse well. And we as parents have a responsibility to impress the faith onto our kids. We have this, the thing about the faith is you can't fabricate or manufacture faith, right? You can't manufacture the presence of God. It just doesn't happen. But you can bring your kids where the presence of God is, and you can have them experience the presence of God. So we are responsible as parents, to have our children experience God at different stages or different areas. We as parents have a responsibility to not make it so much about feelings, but really to make it all about a genuine faith and what that means, a genuine presence of God. So because we can manufacture supernatural, we can allow space when we spend time with them, to allow space for Holy Spirit to come and move and do some amazing things in their hearts, in their lives, and in our own lives. So we have to be the ones that will be regularly making time to pray with them on a daily basis. The way we do it with our kids, we pray every morning, we pray every night, and sometimes during the day when we find time to pray. But we, just by doing this, we actually demonstrate that the prayer is an utmost importance for an individual. It is a relationship with God. That's what prayer is. It's talking to God. It's asking God to be your strength. And so that's what we do. One of the things. The second thing is when we worship together as a family, whether it's worshiping together at church or also worshiping or doing things together at home with them. And then teaching them. I always teach them, whether it's from my own life or whether it's from the Bible, teach them an experience of God's faithfulness to us and to people that have had experience with God. So you need to be the one who's going to impress this faith onto your children and who's going to encourage this faith onto your children. You need to remind your kids of God's importance, of His perspective on everything. I don't know how many conversations I've had just recently, because Luca is 8 and he's actually a really smart boy. We have conversations about spiritual things all the time. He always asks me, driving him on school or back, he will always ask me something about something, and then I'll always put a God's perspective on that. So we have that responsibility as parents to do that to our kids, to have those deep discussions, to pray with them regularly. Oh, there's so much that I can say about this. I'm just trying to share a little bit of what my wife and I have been doing with them. But like I said, the responsibility lays on you. It should be your top priority that your children have faith in God. And I know a lot of, because we live in a world that's so materialistic, and then people are saying, well, I got to, you know, people are thinking, I got to leave. If I leave some money or housing or cars, whatever, they're thinking about leaving all this earthly stuff. But really, in the end of it, when our kids grow up and they have their own troubles and they go through their own circumstances and they struggle and they are in the moments of uncertainty, and when they get fired and when things happen that they haven't expected to happen, the only thing I want them to have in those moments is faith in God. That's the only thing that God will provide, that God will guide them, that God will give them strength, that God will be there for them, that they are not alone. That's the only thing I want for them. Because they will face this world really soon, the reality of it. So the most important thing that you will pass on to your children is faith in God. And the greatest thing you will build in their life is character. So character as in the values. And the character, of course, comes from scriptures, where you get to learn about the values and what God is teaching us about life and how we should behave and what we should do. So I know that some of you have had kids grow up and move on. Some of you have the small ones like I do. And I guess I just want to end with this quote. I want to encourage you that it doesn't matter where you are, you can always start today or tomorrow. This is what the quote from C.S. Lewis says. You can't go back and change the beginning. I think Pastor Ken has mentioned this one before. But you can start where you are and change the ending. So without children, even though if they've grown up and if they're moved on, and I know some of you, I had some conversations with some of you, some of the kids are not even talking to you as much anymore. And those are all the things that we as parents regret. But, you know, one of the things that I really believe is that you as a parent have, God chose you, just like he chose Mary and Joseph. God chose you to be a parent to your children. And he chose you to be a prayer warrior on their behalf. You're the one as a parent that has the most spiritual authority over your child's life. The most. So what does that mean? That you're going to be quiet, you're not going to do anything? That means that you pray for them constantly. That you lift them up to the Lord, that you keep interceding for them, that you pray that God would do amazing work in their life. And then you just leave it to God. Let God do the work in their hearts. Let God change them. Let God transform them. Why don't we just all stand? I'm just going to end with prayer. I want to encourage you that raising children, for those of you that plan to have children, they're the best gift that you can have from the Lord. But they're also a great responsibility, and they're going to be your great responsibility. And I often even say this, and when I was a youth pastor, I said to the parents, you know, we only get them for an hour. You've got 167 hours of the week to help them spiritually mature. So it's not my responsibility. It's not the church's. The church is a part of it as a big second family where we come alongside and we help raise the children and not raise, encourage them. But you as a parent, you are the one chosen by God to guide them, direct them, encourage them, and speak the words of life and speak the words of encouragement. I find myself so many times just saying things that I shouldn't say to my kids. And I want to encourage you. Try to always encourage. Try to motivate. Try to speak life into them. Even when they mess up, yes, you may get angry and upset. But thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to live by emotions and let emotions take over. We can actually be emotionally available to our children. I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in our society, is that parents are disconnected emotionally and kids can't relate, can't talk, can't have those deep conversations. So God is giving you the power. He's giving you the strength. And God will do His work just like He did in Jesus' life. Jesus only lived 33 years. And I'm sure it was really hard for Mary and Joseph to see Him go. But they have done their purpose. They have done their purpose of raising Jesus into this world. So will you do your purpose? Will you continue to pray and lift up your kids to the Lord? And will you just submit to God and say, God, I can't in my own strength, but with your strength, I can and I will. So I just want to pray for you. As you lift up, if you are an uncle or an aunt and you don't have your own kids, you have a spiritual influence in someone else's kid's life, I want to pray for you too. If you're a grandma and grandpa, all the power to you, because you are leading the way. So let's just lift up the kids in our church, and let's just lift up the children of our generation, and let's just hope and trust and pray to God that He would help us to raise up this next generation. Will you just bow and pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we're grateful for the children that You've given us, grateful for the gifts that You've entrusted us, and we pray, Father God, that You would help us, that You would help us and give us strength to be the parents that we are to be the encouragers, to be the ones that will motivate, to be the ones that will speak life and speak Your word over them daily, that we would never give up and cease in praying for them. God, I pray for all the children in this church, all the young ones and the teenagers and the older ones, Father God. I pray Your blessing upon them. I pray that You would help them, God, in this world. That You promise, God, even though there's trouble in this world, that You are with them, God, that they would know that they would sense Your presence always around them, wherever they go, whatever they do. God, we are nothing without You, and we need faith ourselves, God, and we need to be authentic and genuine. So I pray, God, that You would help us to be genuine, to have faith in You, to trust You every step of the way, and to rely on You, God, to know that You're in control, to know that we, even though we may have failed as parents at certain times, to know that You have worked miracles and You have done more than we can ask and imagine in those situations, God. We pray that You continue to bless our children. Pray that You would encourage our children. Pray that You would give us wisdom in leading them towards You, God. Bless our church, encourage us, and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You may go.